Laura Watlington, licensed clinical social worker and suicide prevention program coordinator for the Central Arkansas Veterans Healthcare System, recently interviewed with the Sentinel Record, raising awareness of mental health resources available for veterans through the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs in conjunction with Suicide Prevention Month. The following is an excerpt from that interview. So we're just wanting to know more from the heart, you know, where you guys are coming from and what we can, you know, what people out there can do to help.
Okay. Well, currently there's a really big push for the VA to partner with the community because we know that a lot of our veterans, for one thing, don't come to VA for help. For whatever reason, when they separated from service, they've chosen not to come to the VA. And so we're trying to help mend some of that perception that, you know, give us a try, you know, we hopefully improved greatly. But also, you know, ultimately some veterans are going to choose not to come to us. And then occasionally, you know, there are veterans who served and they had a discharge that prevents them from coming to VA. So in that case, we want to arm all of our community providers with the ability to find out. We don't want to say, are you a veteran? Because a lot of people, for whatever reason, don't identify as a veteran. I've got a friend of mine who, she was an Air Force. And she did 4 or 5 years, and she's like, I'm not a veteran. You know, that's an old man. And anyway, we really want to raise awareness about, you know, veterans, you know, have you served is the question that we're really pushing right now is have you served? If you have, then let's take a look and see if you're eligible for VA health care. And if not, let's see what we can get for you in the community. We want to just be sure to cover all of our bases. Mental health and suicide prevention specifically have a lot of stigma. A lot of people are unwilling or, you know, they might feel some embarrassment to ask for any kind of help, much less mental health, because there really is a stigma. A lot of people still just, they don't believe in mental health or they attach something negative to it. But we all know that everybody has mental health issues. I mean, that doesn't mean that everybody needs to be seeing a psychiatrist, but everybody's had a down day. Everybody's been a little depressed here and there. Everybody's had a lot of stress and anxiety. You know, this is a very, very normal emotions or feelings for people to have. But asking for help for those things is still greatly stigmatized, and especially if you're thinking about killing yourself. If you're having thoughts, I want to die, you know, people are generally not wanting to die necessarily, but they want to end the pain that they have in their life, whatever pain that might be. So the only answer that people can see is suicide. And so if we can help them find a way to get out of that pain and find some new normal, you know, we're not miracle workers by any means, but oftentimes it's about reframing a situation or just somebody needs to talk and be heard. And so we do have a veteran crisis line that's available 24/7, 365. And, you know, even if you're not eligible for VA services, you can always call that crisis hotline number, and there is somebody there to listen. And, you know, they get the full gamut of phone calls. I believe that they recently implemented the 988. Let me see. I've got it here from AT&T. They implemented 988, which will also get you to the Veteran Crisis Line. I don't know if everybody knows it, but the Veterans Crisis Line is the same number as the National Suicide Prevention Line. I really wish they would take the word crisis out of it because we always tell people you don't have to be in crisis to reach out for help. And in fact, it would be better to reach out before you become in crisis because if we can set things straight before it becomes a crisis, then I think we're all in a better spot. So I really would like people to just utilize that hotline for whatever they need.
Okay. And then I thought I noticed that even if you may have a friend or someone or know someone who's in crisis that you can call as well. Am I right about that?
Yes. If you or someone you know is having thoughts of suicide, contact the Veterans Crisis Line. Don't ever worry about being eligible for VA services because, as I said, it is the same number as the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, but we have a lot of family members or caregivers who call the crisis line on behalf of people that aren't willing to ask for help. And then we follow up, and so I have a team of suicide prevention coordinators, and I mean, I guess we could put the face with the name, that there's a team of people who care deeply, who want to help, and that's not just our job, but it's our passion. We want to help our veterans, and again, if we get a non-veteran, we want to help them too, but it may require us to refer them out. But I mean, I just really hope people don't hesitate, or, you know, do something scary, ask for help. Make the call. And I really, really, really think people oftentimes don't want to admit having suicidal thoughts because they think they're going to have their guns taken away or they're going to be locked up in the hospital. Neither of those are true. There have been occasions when people have needed inpatient help, but that doesn't, I mean, most of the time people who are just suicidal don't have to be hospitalized. Also, we're supporters of guns. You know, this is the military. They've all been trained in guns. They mostly own guns. And so the real thing about guns and other things is that we want to keep the weapon safe. So if somebody's having suicidal thoughts, we have gun locks available that we don't track and we don't charge for. But if somebody's having a suicidal crisis, it's better to have a gun lock on the gun to give them that extra moment of pause before they actually get the gun unlocked, possibly loaded. That small couple minutes window of time can literally stop somebody saying, hold on, wait, let me just make a phone call first. Let me call the crisis line. And studies have shown, like, literally, we're looking at a five-minute window sometimes where people literally decide, I'm going to do this, and then take the step. And so if we can put any kind of barrier between the means that they're going to use, if we can put a barrier in there for a length of time, then that can truly save a life. So we do gun locks. Lock boxes. We have medication lock boxes. We often encourage people to, you know, trust their family and friends. Like, hey, you know what? Will you hold on to my gun for a little while? And while that might be a hard sell, that's something that we really do push for. Not push for. That sounds obnoxious, but it's something that we try to educate people about and encourage.
Good. I'm sure there's questions I'm not thinking of that I need to ask as well. That's kind of where I was with it. I just noticed that, you know, there was a way that other people could reach out as well, that they notice anything. Then, of course, the hotline and everything else. I mean, is there anything else I'm not thinking of that you might think we need to add?
I mean, we always talk about, like, warning signs, risk factors, protective factors, that kind of thing. But if anybody sees the warning signs, you know, if somebody, well, I don't know, another thing is loss. What are the major factors for one becoming suicidal is loss, whether that's the loss of a relationship, loss of a child, loss of a home, loss of the financial income. You know, loss of any type can dramatically affect a person. And so, you know, all of those are big things. Lose your health, you can't provide for your family, or, you know, any of those things can really have a dramatic effect. And we see that a lot with attempts, with people who attempt suicide and sometimes with completed suicides. Loss of function, you know, like physical function. The highest rate of suicide is in the white males ages 65 and older. And generally they say that's due to, you know, they've lost their identity as an employee. You know, now, you know, they don't have that identity and they're losing their physical ability, and some people might have to start caring for them physically, and then they're losing peers and whatnot, just the old age and all that stuff. So the older one gets, the higher the risk of suicide becomes. That group of people is also less likely to ask for help. They make up their mind and they go for it. And so that's a really tough population to address because, you know, they come from a different generation, obviously. And so that's just a really high-risk population that we really want to care for. And so any kind of care for these veterans, physical care, if we can make sure that their physical care is optimum, in that they're, you know, able to be as mobile as they can be and everything else, you know, we get their kidneys under control or their heart disease or whatever, all of those things can contribute to a positive outcome. So I really try to get away from the mental health side, the suicide prevention, because, you know, it's not just a mental health issue. It's a person issue, a people issue.
Mm-hmm.
The majority of people who die by suicide have seen their primary care doctor within 30 days of death. And that's not the same for having seen their mental health provider. So we really try to work with our primary care providers to do screening for suicide simply because they have access to a lot of patients who are not enrolled in mental health who are having some such suicidal thoughts that, you know, with intervention could save a life.
Gotcha. And then do you have anything like, I was just thinking about, I know that, you know, talking about it can help.
Yeah.
Anything that you could add about that? Because I know people, like you said, they may have a stigma where they don't want to see a mental health person, but they might not realize the data or the, you know, what we've found about just talking about it.
Right. So I think when a person is having suicidal thoughts, it makes them feel very, very alone. it makes them feel extremely isolated. Even if they're around other people, having these thoughts can be so overwhelming and so isolating. They can't imagine speaking about it, talking about it out loud. And it's just absolutely critical to talk to somebody about it. And that's, you know, you can be anonymous with the crisis line. If you have an acquaintance or somebody, you know, we have safety planning as well, which is a really, really good thing. It's evidence-based. But it really builds on, like, if you're having suicidal thoughts, what can you do all by yourself that might kind of lift you out of it, you know? And that's like, watch a TV show, walk my dog, grab some coffee. But it builds up to, all right, what kind of acquaintances, what people can you go around that you don't necessarily have to say, I'm suicidal, but might bring you out of it. But then the next step is, who is somebody that you can talk to that say, hey, I'm having a hard time, I'm having suicidal thoughts. And so the ultimate point would be getting to a professional and then possibly to an emergency department. But I just really think that people would be surprised at how many other people are having suicidal thoughts as well, and that you're not alone in this. It probably feels that way, but you're not alone. I think that's a really important message to get out there.
Good. Anything else you think we might need to add to this? I don't want to leave anything out.
Not that I can think of. I just really, yeah, hope people can feel like they can reach out. I mean, the whole, you are not alone. People are here to help and care. And, you know, it can be scary, but let's take some of the fear out of it.
Good. So glad that we were able to do anything to help prevention. And, you know, my cousin committed suicide a few years back, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, so. I mean, most people are affected.
Yeah, that's what I don't think people talk about it a lot, but I know that that's the problem, is that the stigma, like you're saying, it kind of reinforces the problem.
It does. So we really want to be able to talk about it. I wish I could have like a weekly radio show.
Right.
I know it sounds silly, but I mean, we're doing what we can. But yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time to, you know, put a spotlight on this.